The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back, everybody. We are going to be concluding MLB Trade Rumors Top 50 Free Agents list, going from the number 10 pick down to number one, seeing if any of these guys are guys worth having on the Red Sox. I'm Nick the Voice, joined tonight by Charlie Smith and Jeremy Schilling, and we are the Bastards of Boston. Let's jump right into this, guys. We'll go in the order of Charlie, Jeremy, and then back to myself, and we are going to kick this off with a starting pitcher that I was very high on coming into the offseason, although the Sonny Gray signing, or trade rather, does seem to limit the option to get him, I feel, Ranger Suarez, who's one of my favorite pitchers on the market right now. What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, I think after everything that we've heard from the Red Sox front office, this is a guy who's been pretty consistent. You know, he's won 12 games back-to-back years as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. He's going to get paid. He's just under 30. He's perfect, and that's why the Red Sox won't end up getting him. You know, for all the wrong reasons, we're not going to get him. And he's been consistent. You know, his ERA has been under four. It's been just, I mean, 330, 340, I think, last year, if I'm not mistaken. But he was really, really consistent. If you look at his numbers from 2024 to 2025, you didn't see anything where there was like a drop off. You saw a little bit of an uptick, like he pitched a little bit better. I think his ERA came down. You saw him, you know, going through the motions and trying to get better. But unfortunately, I mean, this would be amazing if we could get him. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, so the author of the MLB Trade Rumors article we've been going off of has Blue Jays, so they're obviously out of it since they signed Dylan Cease, Giants, Cubs, and Cubs. There's no chance. The Sonny Gray move was so they don't have to go do this. It makes me hate John Henry more than I did yesterday, which I thought was impossible. I'm going to get frustrated. I don't want to. They should absolutely be in on Ranger Suarez. The projection here is 5 years, $115 million. I think that's light. But if you could do it, you know, like, put the rumor out there that you've offered 5 years, $115 million, you know, show actual real interest, not the Johnny Damon after he's signed, you submit a contract when you know he's no longer available, just to say that you submitted a contract. Like, that's what the Red Sox do. And that's probably what they'll do with this player. So, I mean, there's 0% chance. I think that they should absolutely be in on Ranger Suarez.
I agree. I mean, they said we needed a number two. This was the guy who came to mind immediately. He was my favorite pitcher on the market without question. I guess if I had to say something negative about the guy, it's that he's never really pitched 160 innings yet. But I mean, he's going into age 30. This dude's a stud. And one of the things that I like about him a lot, which a guy further down the list I'll criticize for, is this guy has playoff experience, and not just playoff experience, but experience winning in the playoffs. Overall, Ranger Suarez has 42.2 postseason innings with a 1.48 ERA and a 3.02 FIP. That is exactly the type of stud that should be pitching in a Red Sox uniform, and I am very sorry that we're probably not going to see it, especially, like you said, Jeremy, 5 years, 115, I agree. Seems light to me. Really looking forward to seeing where he signs. He's always a treat to watch, but probably not going to be a Sox guy. If we can, though, let's go. Another guy who has, in fact, hit in a Red Sox uniform. A lot of people questioning, will he hit again? Number nine on the list, first hitter, Kyle Schwarber, the DH, projected 5 years, $135 million. How do you guys feel about that, Charlie?
Oh, I mean, I would love to have Kyle from Boston back in Boston, but unfortunately the Red Sox are too cheap to get a power bat like that. And I mean, if you have to be really honest, like you think about the amount of money that the front office is willing to spend, right? They've been floating the number 22 million. And Jeremy and I have gone back and forth about this and talked about this as recently as today, where, well, who said that? Who said 22 million? I said, well, that's all they're willing to spend. They can spend more if they're not going to, because they want to hit that under the threshold number so that it can reset for 2027. Okay, great. Jeremy and I were talking about this. Like, if you really are serious about winning, go sign him to 2 years and 100 million. Screw everybody. Just get the guy. What are we doing? But, you know, we're going to tiptoe around the tulips and try to trade contracts that absolutely no team in Major League Baseball would ever take on. But he's going to get the bag thrown at him. And I really honestly can't see him leaving Philadelphia. I think Dombrowski is going to do whatever he can to bring him back. It's probably going to be a silly contract. I don't know if it's quite going to be their 5 years, 135. I think he's going to get paid proper. It's probably going to be maybe 5, 150. He was one of the best hitters in all of baseball. So no surprise that they have a Philly sweep here.
Yeah. I mean, I love everything offensively about the player, except for his ability to run. High on base guy, clutch bat, doesn't just hit home runs, like, you know, just mammoth of power to anywhere. It's just unbelievable. So there's a bucket that I put of out of reach because John Henry's cheap. And this player is in that bucket. This will be the quintessential Red Sox showing interest when there's never a competitive offer, or if there is an actual offer submitted, it's known intentionally to be low so that the thing doesn't get accidentally accepted by the player. Schwarber's going to be on the market all the way till the end, I believe. And the only scenario I see him ending up in a Sox uniform is the same type of thing with Bregman, where Schwarber can't get the long-term deal, which blows my mind because he's 33. I think he should go get the best, whatever long-term deal he can get, but that's the only way. And he's been too consistent. RBI power, high on base. He's the quintessential money ball type of player. And if he's still unsigned when pitchers and catchers report, then there's some sort of collusion going on with owners, because he's just an absolute stud, you know, all of it. So, but no chance.
Yeah.
I'm
just going to really quickly add on to that. If you look at his numbers, you're talking about consistency. He had some injuries in 2020, 2021. You saw what happened right before that, played 155 games. This year he played every single game. He played 162 games. And 2 years ago, played 160 games. He's missed a total of 12 games in the last 3 years combined. That's 4 games per year if you want to get to the nitty gritty. His averages over the last 4 years, 46.8 home runs, 108.5 RBIs. The strikeout numbers are ugly, over 200. Walk numbers, over 100. But you know what you're getting with this guy. He's going to be a banger. I mean, for anyone that doesn't like know what you're getting with this guy, just watch what he did during the All-Star like week. That was just so much fun to watch him do his little swing away thing. He doesn't have this swing that's absolutely insane. It looks so effortless when he swings. It's so pretty. I mean, I've seen him hit 3 home runs in a game. It wasn't against my team, so it didn't bother me, but you know, at Dodger Stadium, and it was so effortless. Him and Freddie Freeman don't even look like they're fully following through. And when they make proper contact, Schwarber especially, he doesn't even have to make perfect contact. That thing's going 400 feet. So the fact that Jeremy's absolutely right. If he isn't signed, something's wrong.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this dude is just such a fantastic hitter. You know, this guy really, you know, I'm going to dig up the past and I hate to do it, but this is dude who came to Boston in 2021, helped make that team what it was when it went on that beautiful playoff run, that Cinderella story that just fell short. He was willing to, for the first time in his career, or at least major league career, play first base. you know, learning it from scratch, not playing it well, but willing to play it to fit in. And it was the perfect moment for the Red Sox to pass the torch from JD Martinez to Kyle Schwarber at DH. It would have been the smoothest transition. And for the past 4 years, this dude would have been hitting 35 to 45 bombs a year in a Red Sox uniform, right now probably batting right behind Roman Anthony. Instead, we decided we would rather save about, what, $2 million a year and get Masataka Yoshida instead at DH. And so now that is what we're stuck with. Unless Schwarber would like to come back and at age 33, give first base a try. Maybe he just loved it so much 4 years ago. It's hard to justify, unfortunately, having a DH on the roster when you already have a DH on the roster. It's such a shame. Love Schwarber. And I agree. I mean, the Phillies shouldn't let him go unless they can probably get another guy higher up on the list, maybe who they think is younger, maybe can add some defensive value, whatnot, and we'll get to him. But I would love to have Schwarber. He's right below Alonso as my first base option, but I'm a bit skeptical of seeing it happen, unfortunately, which is such a shame because we saw him in a Red Sox uniform and it looked damn good on him. Going up to number eight, another hitter, outfielder, first baseman, coming off a really good year for the Yankees, Cody Bellinger, projected to have 5 years, $140 million. This is funnily enough, a guy who I sort of wanted when the Yankees signed him. I was like, yeah, I'd like to give that guy a try. Now, I'm not so sure. What about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Cody Bellinger was, I mean, really up, like high up and coming promise, early 20s. Banger for the Dodgers, won an MVP in his third year, won the Rookie of the Year when he first came out back in 2017 or 2018. And then COVID happened, and then it was like he forgot how to hit. And then it took a little while for him to kind of get back into the swing of things, but he fell out of favor in Los Angeles, and then he was trying to find his home, was able to rebound and regain some of that value as a member of the Cubs. The Yankees took a flyer on him. Of course he's going to test the market. He had just under 30 home runs, just under 100 RBIs, probably could have stolen more than 13 bases this year, hit over 270. The guy also was pretty consistent, played 152 games. The guy wants to get paid. I think if the Yankees are trying to get greedy, yeah, they're going to go for probably the most prized offseason option of 2026. But if you can't get that option, this is a pretty formidable option here, especially at Yankee Stadium, which has a joke of a right field. I mean, let's be honest here. This guy probably, if he played 160 games, has 30 home runs, over 100 RBIs, hits over 270, probably has the ability to still get 15 to 20 stolen bases. He's only 29, 30 years old. Like, what are we doing here? Red Sox won't pay him. Yankees have the money. They don't care about going over any threshold. So I think, yeah, there's a very, very good possibility he goes back to New York. I don't think another team is going to be willing to give him that kind of contract. And there's another reason why three of the four writers think that he's going to go back to New York. So, I mean, that's fine. Enjoy pinstripes, man. Do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the player. And honestly, it's I'm not going to go on the numbers or anything like that. I don't love the player. He's an outfielder. He'd have to convert this list discusses the idea that he's played some first base. He measures positively defensively. I don't know. He hits against lefties. Like, all those things are good. And 5 years, $140 million seems reasonable for, you know, and I'm not going to go over his stats, but for, if you were to go look at his stats, it's okay. You know, your team should be willing to spend 5 years, $140 million. I don't know. It just seems to me that he's not a possibility. He obviously doesn't fit as an outfielder here. And so I just don't love the player. And maybe it's just the way he kind of plays. He's very relaxed, a little aloof, you know, like I won't say that.
He looks high. He looks high all the time. Dude. I'm sorry.
He does.
Like, he looks baked, man. Like, I mean, and he –
and I don't care if he is, if he mashes, then who gives a crap? But I don't love the player. I don't personally have interest in him. If I was running a team, that answer might be a little bit different. So maybe it's an easy out here for me, but I just don't love the player.
You know, what's funny with him is I have his spray chart up just for the heck of it. You know, I pulled up a Savant page just for each of these guys, just to refresh myself on a few things. And he did not hit a single opposite field home run last year, every single home run, all 29. were in right field with, it looks like, maybe five in center right field. I agree. I mean, this is a guy, I like him enough as a player. He has played a decent amount of first base in his career, but he is most certainly an outfielder. If you have a good outfielder, you want him in the outfield, obviously. And this dude last year was one of the rangiest with one of the best arms that you could have asked for. But funnily enough, even though he hit 29 home runs, he didn't actually hit the ball that hard. His hard hit rate ranked in the 26th percentile, average exit velocity in the 24th percentile. I think this is a really good hitter and a really nice player that doesn't really fit in on the Red Sox. And I feel like that's money that should absolutely go to someone else if we're going to spend it.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the other thing too. He's a left-handed hitter. We have a plethora of options that, you know, that are hitting lefty. Even we're trying to get rid of left-handed hitters. We don't need to add in another one. It's not, it just, like you guys both said, it doesn't make sense. The money needs to be allocated in a different way, in a different direction. Moving on.
Yep. We're going to another pitcher on the list, and I'm honestly surprised to see him ranked this highly. It is the Japanese pitcher coming into the market, Tatsuya Imai. 6 years, $150 million, which is quite a hefty load. I mean, when you look at the guy, he's relatively young, not as young as some of the others, 27, coming off a nightmarish season in the NPB with a 1.92 ERA. But obviously, when you're transitioning from any foreign league into the majors, there's going to be some questions. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, people can talk, and we're going to talk about another player in a little bit here. Here are the facts. Leagues, you know, Major League Baseball in the United States is very different than playing in Japan. It's different than playing in Korea. It's different than playing in Mexico. You have players that look like baseball Jesus when they play in Mexico. They come to the United States and they can't put it together. Like, you have players that go 17-1 with a 1.95 ERA or something like stupid like that. They come to the U.S. and they have an ERA north of 4 with a 4-10 record, and they can't strike anybody out. The talent is not the same. The dimensions are not the same. The baseballs are not the same. So just because you might have dominated very much in one league in a different country does not automatically translate that you're going to do the same thing here in the U.S. When Tanaka wasn't it Tanaka who joined the Yankees? He went 17-0 in his last year in Japan before he came here. And everyone's like, oh, yeah. He said something like, oh, I could do the same thing in the United States. Like, okay, buddy. Like, dude, the talent pool there is very different than the talent pool here. That some people would rather probably retire than play in Japan. And that's just a fact. They don't want to go there. The level of difficulty of making the transition of coming from a foreign country, playing in your league, and then coming to the United States, you're seeing what happens. Like, Yamamoto in LA, Roki Sasaki, they were highly touted. They were giving dumb money. Yamamoto did well in year, you know, this year, but he didn't do well prior. And Roki Sasaki barely played this year. So, I mean, this guy, while he did great, you know, 10-5 record, a 1.92 ERA, struck out over 178 guys, 163 innings. Here are the facts. That does not necessarily mean that's going to translate to success in the American League or the National League here in you know, the United States. So I don't think that the Red Sox are actually going to have a shot at somebody like this. We are not a big market team. We're not a destination city. The Dodgers were listed twice. The Cubs and Mets were each listed once. I don't think the Dodgers are going to get another player from Cebu. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, whoever the Dodgers seem to want, they're going to get.
First of all, I just personally, I have no interest in a player I haven't seen. And I know the Red Sox have scouting and you know, they're watching all these leagues and you know, getting all the information, all the metrics. But these are the same scouts that said that Yoshida would be a plus player in America, and he is not. So that the Yoshida thing still stings. We're just stuck with him. For example, we're basically saying Schwarber's doesn't have a spot here because you're still paying Yoshida. Like, you're going to take on another contract for a player that hasn't pitched at this skill level. And sure, he could be great. He could be what the Dodgers got with, and I'm spacing it on his name right now.
Yamamoto,
sorry. But a team that isn't going to spend, just went and got Sonny Gray, is going to give a guy that pitched in Japan's professional league $150 million over 6 years. It's never going to happen, nor in this instance do I want it to happen. So out on the idea of it happening, and probably for the right reason.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this is ultimately a guy that another team could take a flyer on. And I think that if you already had a clearly established front of the rotation, for example, a lot of people projecting he's going to go to the Dodgers, like the Dodgers, I think this is a great guy to take a flyer on, especially if you like what you see. But I completely agree. I mean, you never know. You could get Yamamoto, you could get Dice K. And Dice K was certainly a fine pitcher. You know, he was all right, but not worth the money. And especially when you have other guys on this list, some that we've already discussed, one that we already discussed tonight, you know, it's just not a gamble that I'd like to take, especially because we really have been discussing a hard need for a front of the rotation starter. That's a lot of pressure to put on a 27-year-old guy who hasn't played in America before. And one final note that does worry me about him is just glancing at some scouting reports. It says the command is suspect. That doesn't translate for me at all. That's not the type of thing I feel that you retool. I mean, obviously Chapman came here and fixed his command, but I don't know, man, a starter, all that. That's a lot riding on a guy when you really need an ace. Good luck to him. That's what I'm going to say. Whatever team signs him, I'll be interested in watching, but I agree with you. That's someone I'm not willing to take a risk on. Number six, another starting pitcher, another name that's been thrown around. Funnily enough, the final starting pitcher on tonight's list, or at least the final one that the Red Sox have a chance at, it's Framber Valdez coming out of the Astros. 5 years, $150 million for the 32-year-old. How do you guys feel about Framber?
Somewhere between not happening and F no. That's where the Red Sox probably stand on any of the starting pitchers that are expecting to get 3-4 years and over $100 million. It's just not going to happen. Now, Framber, also Houston Astro, everyone knows how I feel about that. Not a huge fan. The guy's been very, very consistent. He started 31 games in three of the last four seasons. He's hit the 200 strikeout marker once. He's been close twice more. He's had 192 innings or more in three of those four seasons. Obviously, 2024, he missed a couple extra starts. Had he played those three extra ones, maybe he would have been at, you know, 200 innings, something close. The one thing about Framber that really kind of sends me over the edge in the no category is the whole him, like, intentionally hitting his catcher when something didn't go right or there was, like, a cross-up. And that really upset me. I'm like, if you're going to try to say, oh, we miscommunicated, like, you've been pitching a really long time, and it just so happened that the pitch that you miscommunicated on was right after you gave up a dinger. It just sends a really bad message of immaturity, and you're 31 years old. You need to grow the F up, buck up, nut up, sack up, however you want to call it. You need to do that, and you need to do it yesterday. I want no business with another Houston Astro who's going to, you know, sign a possible one-year deal and then be like, midway through the year. Yeah, Alex, I'm talking about you, buddy. Just say, I want a multi-year deal and I'm opting out. Like, I'm out on somebody like that with an attitude. We don't need attitude problems. We dealt with enough. Jeremy?
Quick anecdote on that play. The catcher and him both said it was unintentional, okay? If you've played baseball, even in Little League, when you get a cross up, it's because you go third signs live, right? So it's fastball, change up, splitter. And so it's a splitter because it's the third sign. How are you crossing somebody up when they say in your ear what the pitch is going to be? So this this POS shakes to a curveball. So shakes no to a curveball and throws a absolute four seamer right at this guy and hits him in the chest. Like, that's not somebody that doesn't come with issues. And I don't know what's going on in the clubhouse. I'm not going to pretend to know what kind of clubhouse guy he is, but that's a serious red flag. Also, I can stop my analysis here, because the Red Sox aren't going to pay a guy like this.
Of course not. Do you guys remember Carlos Zambrano back in the day with the Chicago Cubs and the Tampa Bay Rays? No. I don't think he's quite there. All right, Nick, after this, you have to look him up. He was, I mean, dude, steam was coming out of his ears some games. And he was one of the best pitchers in baseball, but he just had major anger problems. And that, to me, is a sign of an issue. Like, that's something you should probably talk to them. It's like a pitcher that intentionally throws 100 at someone's head. You just don't do it. And somebody like that, if he gets hot, he might do something stupid like that. Moving on. What do you think, Nick?
I agree completely. I mean, this is a guy who, before that pitch, funnily enough, I was in on him. I was listing him as like a big three, maybe big four free agent that I really wanted the Sox to go for. And then as soon as that thing happened, I was like, you know what? it combines with a couple of other factors for me. Personally, watching Framber pitch, he seems like the type of guy that can get rattled. That's purely anecdotal. I don't know, you know, maybe that's completely, you know, the eye test. And if you look at the high, you know, leverage index, he's actually great. But he just seems like a guy that as soon as things start to go bad, he doesn't really mentally bounce back from it. And you look at his postseason experience as opposed to Ranger Suarez's, and it's much more of a mixed bag. This guy has 85 innings with a 4.34 ERA, 4.42 FIP in the playoffs. He had two great years in 2020, absolute stud playoff run. 2022, same thing. But then 21, 23, and in a small sample size in 24, really just stunk up the place in the postseason. And that is kind of the nail in the coffin for this guy. He's older. He's not nearly as good sort of peripherally as a guy like Ranger Suarez. And then you add potential character issues, potential anger issues, maybe just a lack of a cool head. And if the Sox are going to be dropping some crazy money on a starting pitcher, I'm like, I really hope it's not Framber Valdez. Now, going on to another ex-Astro, the return potentially of Alex Bregman is the next one to discuss. Number five on the list, third baseman, of course, 6 years, $160 million. And interestingly enough, of all four beat writers who went and predicted, not a single one said he would be making it back to the Red Sox. How would you guys feel if he did?
Thank you. Goodbye. Not going to happen. It's not even worth entertaining this conversation. Bregman wore out his welcome as soon as he started talking about opting out before the season was over and talking about a long-term contract, whether it be him, his agent, somebody in his camp. As soon as that happened, it pissed off everybody in Boston. The morale went out the window. The chemistry also started to feel a little bit lackluster. And on top of that, he hit .219 to end the year. Like, the guy just was completely done. He was a shell of his former self. I'm completely out on Alex Bregman. Have fun playing in Detroit. You're probably still never going to win another World Series. Jeremy?
Might be some Astros hate in that rant.
Absolutely. I can't stand them. I tried really hard, but I can't do it. Sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
Okay, so I can bury some of that thing if it means it's to the benefit of the club. I like him. I'd love to have him back. I wish he didn't opt out and we just ride out the 3-year deal. He's not getting 6 years, $160 million, which is what's projected in this article. And we know this from the Red Sox because they could have done it last year. The reason why he fell to us the way he did is, one, yeah, he wants to play here, but two, no one else offered it either. No one's going to give him this deal. No one. So I think it comes down to whether or not he gets a competitive offer and takes the last big deal he's going to get from the Tigers or wherever else. And if any of those teams do that, whether it's 3 years, $120 million or you know, 4 years, $130 million, he's going to get it. That's what he's going to do. He's not coming back here on another deal unless no one else is offering him anything else. So if everyone's offering him a 2-year deal with an opt-out, then you might see him back here. Obviously wants to play here. Boris went and did that stupid pun-filled
so dumb
press conference. So cheesy. It just landed flat. It made me roll my eyes. I don't think I actually got through the whole thing. So I don't see it happening. I do like the player. I just don't like him in anything more than 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I liked him in April, May. I liked him then when he was relevant.
The quad injury was probably the fault there. I mean,
sure, you don't get better with injuries though. You don't get better with age as far as injuries are concerned.
Hate aside and let Nick have his voice here.
All right, Nick, go ahead.
You know, Bregman, unfortunately, signing him when we did is going to, in hindsight, be just one of the worst moves that the Sox ever pulled. You know, me and Jeremy were talking just before the show, and, you know, I said, I hate to bring up the Devers thing. I hate to beat a dead horse. But ultimately, if you look at it, we had Devers on a very team-friendly deal up until about age 35, and we got rid of him for not even a full year of Alex Bregman. And now we are in a spot where if we do not get an infielder capable of playing either second or third base, we are going to be watching either Romy Gonzalez or Nick Sogard or Christian Campbell for a full year. We have put ourselves in a position where we turned a position of strength into a position of very, very weakness. I mean, I like him as a player. I like the defense. I like the bat overall. I agree, he's not my perfect candidate, but as far as it goes, you either sign him or you go out and get Ketel Marte, which, you know, I'd love, believe me. But Alex Bregman, if it's a reasonable money, you know, type of deal, we need him, unfortunately, because I just don't think any other free agent on the market right now makes as much sense. We need a guy who's going to play good defense and preferably hit 25 to 30 home runs. Bregman right now is really the only guy. You know, I'll tell you who is certainly not going to be doing that for the Red Sox. At least, God, do I hope not. If this happens, you're really going to see the end of me. Number four on the list is Munetaka Murakami. And I have no idea how he has made it this high. A third baseman, first baseman, projected to get 8 years, $180 million. And I know the guy has raw power, but all I'm hearing is the guy cannot hit velocity. How would you guys feel about Murakami on the Red Sox?
Absolutely terrified. Absolutely terrified. Left-handed hitter. Don't need him. Can't hit past 93 miles an hour. His batting average was like 087. I could put myself in there, you, Jeremy, with, you know, the cannons. One of the three of us is probably going to do better. For those that don't know, Jeremy's like literally two Charlies. So real talk. I mean, if you can't hit 93, how do you project to be getting, I mean, even remotely close? 3 years ago, had 56 home runs, hit over 300. Since then, shadow of his former self, striking out a lot more. Batting average is just, it's a huge void. And honestly, the opportunity to strike while the iron is hot would have been 3 years ago. Then he would have gotten something stupid, but not anymore. Not after the whole book is out on him. He can't hit heat. So if you throw 99, 100, you can't hit 93.
Which everybody does, by the way.
Right. Exactly. You can't hit 93 in your home country. No disrespect to your home league. You can't hit 93 there. You're going to hit 100 or 95 in the U.S. Different baseball, larger parks, much more heat. I don't think so. That doesn't translate. I mean, we're learning. Jeremy already talked about it. You know, the scouts had said that, you know, Yoshida was automatically going to be, or not automatically, but was projected to be a better player than he actually was. It didn't work out. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. I'm really not trying to take another shot on a left-handed hitter who can't hit 93. And it just doesn't make sense. Like, that doesn't all of a sudden make our pitching better either. Sorry.
Yeah, if you're going to, if you have a chance that Henry's actually going to spend this type of money, 8 years, 180 is the projection. It has to be on an established guy in this league. I don't think you can risk tying up an 8 year deal on a player where there's been significant red flags raised. And this would be a consolation to not getting Alonso, not getting Schwarber, and so on and so forth. So this guy, Anthony, who said he sees it going to the Red Sox, like, I'd like to get him sober and ask him what he was thinking, because that is wild suggestion, if that's what you think. So I don't need to go and restate the things Charlie said, so I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a Japanese man to play first base, Okamoto is right there. He's literally a better option than Murakami for a variety of reasons. I do not understand the hype around this guy. I do not understand the money that's being projected, because this is establishment level money. And in this article, not to flame anyone, but saying something like,
flame away,
this guy has the type of prodigious thunder we've seen from lefty sluggers like Shohei Ohtani and Kyle Schwarber. Let's calm the hell down, because I don't care how hard you hit the ball if you can't hit the ball. This dude, if you just take a glance at the prospect report, this dude is being projected. He has 80 raw power on the 2080 scale. All the props to him. He's also rated as a 30-hit tool with 30 speed and 30 fielding. This is the definition of a one-trick pony. He is going to have a miserable time in the majors, and this guy has bust written all over him. I am more than happy to eat my words if he comes over here and fixes his problems, and at the age of 26, starts to be able to catch up to 94. But, I mean, if the Red Sox sign him, we were just talking about Yoshida and, you know, MIE and repeating mistakes. I mean, this would be the Yoshida contract on steroids, as far as I'm concerned. You know, no disrespect to the guy. Wish him all the luck in the world, but that is scary to see the Red Sox even mentioned in the same breath there. Going on to the actual final starting pitcher on the list, number three, of course, already off the market, Dylan Cease just signed that big deal worth $210 million when it was projected on this list, 7 years, $189 million. Funnily enough, two of the writers predicted Red Sox, one Orioles, one Phillies. No mention of Toronto, but they went out and they got their guy. Obviously, he can't come to Boston now. Right. Would you have even wanted him to, though? And how do you see him aiding the Blue Jays going forward next year?
I think there's a really good shot that Toronto goes back to the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the Dodgers will probably win it again. I mean, they're going to be the first three-peat since the 98-2000 Yankees. I mean, the Blue Jays just made it so that the Red Sox are at best the third-best team in the American League East. I'm not really scared about Baltimore, and Tampa Bay is a hit-or-miss like flyer. I'm not really scared about them, and I could be completely wrong. There's really no point to talking about Cease too much. I mean, the guy is an innings eater. He doesn't miss time. He throws 32 games a year. He's going to get you 180 to 190 innings. He strikes out over 200 guys. This would have been perfect. Put that at the front of your rotation. You don't have to liquidate any prospects. You just sign him to a deal and freaking go. But the Red Sox won't do that. And that's going to be a really nice, fun, probably minimum 5 years worth of ouchies coming our way. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you do when you're serious about winning. You don't wait for the market. You say, okay, so 189 is the projection. Let's add $20 million and go get them now and alleviate any risk that someone else comes in and does something stupid late because their A plan didn't work. And that's what the Toronto Blue Jays did. And I kind of wish I was a fan of that team because they care and they want to win. And we don't.
Yeah. You know, Cease is a hit or miss pitcher. It's strange. Everything says he should be way more successful than he is. FIP loves him. ERA, not so much. But he's been pitching with a pretty bad defense behind him, I guess, for a good chunk of his career. I mean, like you guys said, he's a workhorse. He strikes guys out. That's going to be attractive. And out of the free agent pitchers, after Framber, you know, fell down the list quite a bit, it was Ranger Suarez, then a little bit of distance, then probably Dylan Cease with Michael King not too far behind. That was sort of my ranking. Would have loved to have seen him come to Boston, but at the same time, I mean, it's hit or miss. I mean, the guy could go out there and show once more that, yeah, he strikes a lot of guys out and somehow winds up with a 4.5 ERA. But my prediction is that he's going to help Toronto majorly. I mean, he's going to make that rotation dangerous. They've put together a really nice squad. They're looking at a nice projected starting five. A lot of fun to watch. And, you know, props to Toronto. And we can go to another Toronto Blue Jay who's projected across the board to stay a Blue Jay, Bo Bichette at number two. 8 years, $208 million is the projection. The shortstop, he's been a lifelong Blue Jay coming up back in 2019 at the age of 21, hitting free agency now. I know for a while, Toronto was looking a bit dismal. There was all that speculation that Bo was going to leave, Vladdy was going to leave. And now suddenly Vladdy's locked up. They just got Cease. Everyone's projecting Bichette stays. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I mean, he has no reason to go. He's a 27-year-old guy who could potentially be the, you know, right next door lifer. I mean, like I think about this. I mean, they're just showering the World Series with photos of Vlad with him together, like growing up and coming up in the, you know, on the team. My apologies. My dog is like whining in the background. But both of these guys are probably going to, I mean, if they end up becoming lifers, it's going to be a really fun 1-2 punch to like watch for the entirety of their career as a member of the Blue Jays. 8 years, $208 million. I think it's possible that they might tack on an additional year and more, obviously more money there too. Why not? You know, keep the party going, hitting over 300. If he's back to where he was beforehand, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You're going all in right now. You got to get your heavy, you know, big hitters here. And truth be told, I mean, he was one of the reasons why they won the World Series. So, or not won the World Series, but won certain plays in certain games because of his defense playing second base or short. So the guy has the playoff pedigree. He's not too, you know, not nervous of the big moment. In the last game, had that 3-run homer. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a chance that Toronto wins the World Series. based on that hit. It didn't end up working out that way, but it came pretty damn close. And now with the addition of Cease, you re-sign him. I think there's a really good chance that you make it, you know, repeat performance for both of those teams.
Yeah, I think he's a Blue Jay. Why would the Blue Jays go pay for Vlad, pay for Cease, and not sign Bo Bichette? And let's say they gave the money that they would have given a Bo to Dylan Cease. The Sox aren't going to do this. I mean, what I think, I mean, I would love to have the player. I mean, either you move him to short or you put him at second until Story times out, and then you put him back at short, or he stays a second baseman or whatever. And then you can liquefy some assets and go get a Joe Ryan, perhaps. So Christian Campbell's no longer really has value. Maybe even Marcelo Mayer, although he might be playing third or probably is going to be playing third. But if you go get an established veteran that you know what you have, then you can take some of these prospects, knowing they don't have a spot here, package them and fix a hole somewhere else in the ship. Never going to happen.
Yeah, you know, Bichette, he's just one of those guys. He's been an impact player whenever he's been on the field. He's had a lot of success in his time in the postseason, you know, been really good in the big moment, like you said. My concern with him is he's not really much of a shortstop. His arm is very middle of the pack, maybe even a little below average. And his range is like dead last. Like, this dude really should just consider becoming a full-time second baseman. That's probably what I would do if I was in Toronto's position. Say, all right, dude, you know, you played shortstop quite a bit. Your bat is good enough to play somewhere else. You know, let's go out, get a glove first guy to play shortstop, hopefully help the team a little bit. But I agree. I mean, I think Toronto is going to keep this guy. Even if he was available, I mean, there's a couple of things that do worry me about the player, not as far as him being a bad player, but just in not necessarily being the player that the Sox need. He's not that huge power guy, you know, that you're really in need of. But I mean, he is an infielder, like I asked for, and he would certainly pair well towards the top of the rotation. Maybe he could bat leadoff with Anthony right behind or something like that, but I don't see it happening for a lot of reasons. Like you said, I think this dude is going to be a Blue Jay, if not for life, pretty darn close to it. Finally, number one on the list, getting to the very end, Kyle Tucker. This guy is, I mean, he's a demon, quite frankly. If there was a wide variety of pollings, a wide variety of lists out there saying, you know, rank the free agents, who are the top 10? Kyle Tucker was probably going to be number one on just about everyone's list. And if not, it would be a contentious take. Obviously, Sox don't need another outfielder, but how would you guys feel about getting Tucker? And I mean, let's be honest, it's not going to happen, but tell me that it's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, Nick, it's not going to happen. He's projected to make over $400 million on his next deal. This is going to be, you know, as everyone, like you mentioned, and to your credit and everybody's credit who said it, this is going to be the top. This is going to be the grand prize. Like whoever gets the Tucker sweepstakes, they're going to get a little knock there. It's going to be okay, cool. A little star. There's a little bit of an uptick in expectation and expected performance. But, you know, the teams that they mentioned, you have the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Yankees, and the Giants. The Yankees, I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know if he'd be willing to take like a crazy deferred contract like the Dodgers are giving to all their players. I don't think the Phillies are going to be in on him because their top priority should be to get Schwarber, even though Schwarber doesn't have a natural position. I don't know if the Giants would go out and get him. They've already got a lot of money being blown up towards Rafi Devers, and I'm not sure what it would look like. I mean, it's not necessarily a hitter-friendly park. You're seeing that firsthand with Rafi Devers. And it's not like Kyle Tucker absolutely took the world by storm last year. Like, he had 22 home runs. He played in more games in 2025 than he did in 2024. He played in 58 more games. 58 more games and had one less home run, and he had 24 more RBIs. Batting average went down. Stolen bases went up. But, I mean, I don't know where he's going to end up going. If the Dodgers end up getting him, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. They'll just find a way to defer more money and, you know, we'll pay you in 2050 and he'll be okay with it because he'll get a couple of World Series rings. But I really don't know. I mean, if it's not LA, I don't know where he would go. Like, I don't think the Cubs are going to dump $400 million for him. I don't think that's their MO. And a lot of teams like the Yankees front office, like they've been saying, we're trying to get under a certain threshold and it doesn't necessarily make sense to spend X amount of money. So I don't know. Jeremy, you might have an idea of where he's going to go. I don't think it's going to be the Giants. I don't think it's the Phillies. I don't think it's the Yankees. It's maybe LA. I don't know. I really don't know where he's going to go.
I mean, call me crazy, but I don't think he's worth this type of contract. And I,
you're right.
You know, if there was a line somewhere, maybe on Hard Rock Bet here in Florida on the under, I would take it on both the years and the dollar bills. I mean, look, he's a very good player. Is he Juan Soto, Vlad Jr., Shohei Ohtani, the guys that are getting these nuclear contracts? I you know, maybe I'm not as in tune with the new version of using metrics and data to analyze a player, but this guy is not I just don't see it. He doesn't have a spot. Obviously, our outfield's overcrowded. We probably need to move either Abreu or Duran to kind of clear the logjam there and balance the roster. So is he the type of player where you might have to move two to make room for him? Sure. You know, could you use those players to then go get and plug another hole? Yeah, you could. Is this team going to do it? Not a chance in hell.
Yeah, I mean, if this team didn't go out and spend the money on Soto, it's not because they were just waiting for next year so they could spend it on Kyle Tucker. I mean, it's hard to say that any player, just about, except maybe Shohei Ohtani, is worth a contract quite like that. You know, they're going to age. They're going to have bad seasons. And even in their great years, I mean, it's a lot of money to spend on one guy and a lot of eggs put in one basket. It can bite you. But Kyle Tucker, I mean, the dude really is a demon. You look at 8 years in the MLB, he's played 769 games. He has a 140 OPS plus. You look at his Savant page, it's almost all red. He's a really nice outfielder, really good arm. He walks. He doesn't chase bad pitches. He doesn't strike out. He makes good contact, so on and so forth. This dude is pretty much the most Roman Anthony type of player that you could ask to ever pair with Roman Anthony. But of course, we're not going to pair him with Roman Anthony, for better and for worse. I mean, I'm not sorry about it, so long as you take the $400 million, spend it elsewhere, of course. But, you know, I think that whatever team does get him, he is just going to continue to haunt the dreams of their divisional rivals and eventually their postseason rivals. I kind of like the Phillies pick, and the only reason I'll say that is because if I'm the Phillies GM right now, if I'm over there, I'm doing some girl math in my head. And I'm saying Rangers coming off the books, Schwarber's coming off the books. That's pretty much a free Kyle Tucker. And that's about the only thing that's kind of the thing you have to do to justify that amount of money. Unless, like Jeremy said, you're going to start moving players suddenly, which, you know, even if the Sox did, I mean, Abreu and Duran aren't making that much, you know? So maybe pair them with Yoshida and, I don't know, your kidneys, and maybe you can justify Kyle Tucker coming to the Red Sox. It's not going to happen. Would love to see him in a Sox uniform. He'd be fun to watch as a player, but as a contract, it's quite a nightmare. And that concludes the MLB trade rumors top 50 free agents. It's been a heck of a list. I think there's been a lot of guys on this list that are going to be absolute studs. And we've seen quite a few that I would go out of my way to say, yeah, that guy's probably going to bust. That guy's not a guy I want on my team, so on and so forth. It's going to be interesting. You know, the best part of these predictions is always looking back with hindsight a year from now and being like, oh my God, you remember when everyone thought that so-and-so was going here? You know, really good. You know, any closing thoughts on the list right now, guys, or the Red Sox in general?
Nothing more than what I've already said.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I was muted because I almost swore. So I'm impressed I didn't, but Jeremy would have never let me forget it. It's going to be a really difficult year. 2026 is going to be really trying. A lot of really upset fans. We're not getting any of those names, you know? So that's the thing. If you're a Red Sox fan, you have to accept the fact that you just read 10 people's names or heard 10 people's names that are not coming to Boston in a Red Sox uniform. They may mash against the Red Sox at Fenway Park or in their home stadium, wherever it is that they go. It's it's not going to be wearing a Red Sox uniform this year, next year, the year after that, or the year after that. It's just not going to happen. And honestly, you can't be surprised. You can't be shocked. We signed someone to a $300 million deal and then trade them a year after.
Yeah. Getting to the top of the list was always going to be a bittersweet moment because you get a lot of players who you'd love to have on the team and a lot of players who, you know, yeah, that's not happening. It's a pipe dream.
Yep. Sell the team, John.
Yep. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. It's been a lot of fun looking at the list. It'll be interesting as the offseason progresses. We're about to hit December, and we will start to see names come off the board. We'll see what the projected WAR starts to get for all these teams and who's left standing. You know, I guarantee you'll see one or two of these guys still hanging around in spring training, waiting for that big payday and maybe having to compromise. So thank you guys for joining us. I've been Nick, joined by Charlie and Jeremy. We have been the Bastards of Boston. And even though the baseball season is over, articles are still being published over on bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. Make sure to go check it out. Until next time, everyone, take care and let's hope for the best with the Red Sox. Bye-bye.